I'm Christian Scheller. Welcome to my podcast, an enthusiastic ramble through whatever has taken my interest the past week or so. Expect technology, games, history, travel, geekery, and as always, much, much more. Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks News with me, Christian Scheller. I am back from Melbourne, from Australia, from travels. I'm necessarily tired. Well, yes, I'm tired, but just kind of a bit vague. So whilst I have a lot of interesting topics I want to cover today, I am going to keep things relatively brief on that front and be back with full updates from me in a couple of weeks, because I do have a bit, actually, a few good things, a few bad things, and I wouldn't mind catching up on them, but I think I'll do that in the future when my brain is a little more down to earth, as it were. First, it was WWDC 2024, depending who you speak with, and I think, to be honest with you, how much attention they actually paid to the event, specifically the keynote. WWDC this year was possibly one of the best or worst events Apple has ever made. Personally, I was quite excited by a lot of the user and developer-facing announcements, and I can't wait to try some of them and look into how I can implement some of them. But alongside all of this, I'm not really going to go into any great detail about some of the announcements. I think that was covered a lot by many people. But the one that sort of took me, the one that interested me the most, because Apple is not a company who are usually very forthcoming with details on things, was their own private post on the private cloud compute. This facility, this feature, this service, they will use as and when local AI services on device need it. It's a little vague as to when that will be the case, but the article itself is not so vague. It actually goes into a fair bit of detail about how they intend this to work. And that, to me, was quite interesting to read and understand, and also just kind of see, like, how much work this will be. And, you know, for a company of that size, of course, it is worth it in the long run because they will make money out of it. They will retain customers. They will gain customers, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, it's worth it to them. But the amount of effort they will have to go to is interesting. And I think it kind of says something about the company. What that may or may not be in the long term, I guess, remains to be seen. Next, from Wired, smartphones may affect your sleep, but not because of blue light. Now, for years, myself, like many others, have tried to reduce screen time before bed due to the infamous blue light effect on my sleep. But according to a report that the article covers, and I also heard this mentioned on other outlets as well, I think I heard one of the scientists, spoken to on the BBC talking about it as well. It turns out that many of the reports this practice was based on was not necessarily that accurate and were all kind of peer-reviewed or maybe interpreted incorrectly and all sorts of things. And actually, as always, it depends. It depends what you're doing with your devices before you go to bed. It depends on the personality you are, et cetera, et cetera. So I found that quite interesting. And as always, now we have new things to to worry about, to think about, I suppose, to analyze instead. Next, taken from Mental Floss, 13 inventors killed by their own inventions. Lovely, cheerful. I know. I'm sorry. not that cheerful. But I don't know. Some of these I knew, like the inventor of leaded gasoline, basically, I heard about. He harmed himself from lead in petrol. And then I'd heard this story before. He didn't die from lead poisoning. He actually contracted polio and invented his own contraption to help him get in and out of bed. And he strangled himself on that. Many would argue that his invention have caused a lot of deaths, but he didn't die from his invention itself, not from his most famous invention. And there's way more here. People who invented vehicles, people who invented fireworks, people who invented the Titanic, many others. I don't know. I shouldn't be it's not obviously a nice article, but it's always interesting that it's actually fairly common, to be honest with you, that this kind of thing can happen. Because most inventors are curious minds, I guess, and they explore and they take risks. And this is why this can happen. Next, this was reported on Music Radar, but was reported in more widely. This was the Spotify CEO claiming that the cost of creating content is close to zero. As musicians claim, our albums took hundreds of hours of human effort and hard work and creativity. And this is on top of Spotify getting rid of staff and also increasing fees. So not a great pairing of announcements. Now look, as an ex-professional musician who does make some money from streaming, no streaming is good, but I would always argue Spotify has been one of the worst and has no real respect for musicians because they kind of created this whole genre, and it was only until they were dragged sort of kicking and screaming to increase payouts to musicians that they actually did it, whereas other companies did it from the outset. So I will reiterate my constant cry that if you care about music, well, you shouldn't be using Spotify. You shouldn't really be using streaming full stop. But I think that is a cat that is very much out of the bag and isn't going back in it. But yes, use a better streaming service and not just the one that everybody else uses, because that's not always the best. Next on Every.2, AI writing will feel real eventually. And this is something that I definitely can identify with at the moment. And it basically goes into the current zeitgeist. AI writing feels weird. It feels disjointed at the moment, but it will feel normal eventually. And it cites many other examples, and I can add many others to the list where they felt strange to begin with. But over time, we got used to how something felt. And AI writing, unfortunately, fortunately, depending on your perspective, will reach that same point at some time. And who knows when? We are right in the middle of it, of course, and it feels more normal to some than others. So, yes, who knows? And we shall see. So, yes, who knows? And so, yes, who knows? And I would argue that this ties in with other things I've said over the past few months, that to many people they won't even notice or won't even care or will be willing to put up with. We'd be willing to put up with a little bit of oddness for the convenience, for the cost of content, etc., etc. And finally, this is from IEEE Spectrum, the forgotten history of Chinese keyboards. And there's a wonderful photo here of an operator using a gigantic keyboard. And I remember speaking with a friend of mine from London who moved to China, and explained to me how you type on modern Chinese keyboards. So this is sort of charting the story of how they got there. You know, a character-based system when it comes to a device that is largely designed by Latin-based language users and generally English users, how you translate between those and how you arrive at what is now used, I think there are still multiple different ways of using Chinese on a computer keyboard. But as you go through this post, you see that it slowly starts to become something more recognizable. And actually, there is a sort of split between using QWERTY-style keyboards, and there's these sort of combinations of things you use to get the Chinese characters or other keyboards that work in a different way. And I've never actually seen one. I've seen Japanese keyboards, I've seen Thai keyboards, Arabic, Hebrew, Cyrillic, but I've never seen a Chinese keyboard. So I'd be actually interested to know what it looked like. But it's a fascinating history. It's the kind of thing I'm super into. So go over and have a look. Yes. And that was my links for the week. As I said, I do have some things to update you on, but I'm going to save it for 2 weeks' time. Group it all up together because, I think I just want to keep it short and sweet whilst I'm in a slightly brain-fogged state. And I had to redo a few things already as I read out some of these links. So I think that shows that I am definitely brain-fogged. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's been a few good and bad things happening in my life, not even in the past few weeks, literally today as I record. So I will use this opportunity to say that, yes, there are dynamic ads on the podcast because that's just the way things are these days. But if you like what you are listening to or what you read or anything else I do, please consider supporting Please consider supporting, and you can find details on that on christianscheller.com/support. I am going to start introducing ad-free and premium versions of the show very soon, but in the meantime, I'm just going to keep it super casual like that. So please, if you enjoy what you hear and you value it, and you value the time I put into this, then head on over there, and I would love that. Likewise, if you can rate, review, share the show, that's also appreciated. I have been Christian Schiller. Thank you very much for joining me, and take care, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. Find out more about me at christianschiller.com, where you can find show notes, sign up for my newsletter, and find all of my writing, games, work, and video links. There's also details on how to get in touch with me. And if you want to get even closer to what I do, join my Discord server for behind-the-scenes discussions and helping me produce my shows and work.